Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Monday, May 18th, 2026. Chat, hope you're all doing well. It's a fresh start, new day, and we got a big series to get into, so we're going to preview all of that, of course, later on. But man, chat, I was vibing yesterday until, of course, I was not. I was getting the show all prepped. I had my headlines ready to go, and it was obviously, at the time, in much different spirits. But of course, here we are today coming off one of the most brutal losses of the year, but I would say no doubt about it. I think it's number one. With that said, we're going to do like a nice middle ground here of talking about it, discussing it, discussing the storylines that came out of yesterday, which is heavily revolving around the Yankee bullpen and the closer role. We're going to get into all of that. But with that in mind, it is a new day. And the Yankees have a very big series starting up tonight against the Toronto Blue Jays. First rematch since the 2025 ALDS. That game will get going at 7 o'clock tonight. It's a four-game set through Thursday. All four games are night games, and obviously I'm pretty geared up for that. So we'll preview that, but also just in general, no matter who we play, be playing today. I know I'm not on the team, chat, but I would do all right as a reliever, I think, because I do have that goldfish memory, and you kind of have to. Like, I don't want to dwell too much on how bad of a loss yesterday was, but obviously there are some narratives to discuss from yesterday. And that obviously starts first with David Bednar and the Yankee bullpen. So I didn't want to run the VO of it, but I guess we will. Game-tying homer in the ninth inning. Hanging curveball, three-run shot to Tyrone Taylor. And the Yankees end up losing in extra innings to a Mets team that, and they probably have a little bit of faith from this win, and good for them, they probably should. But listen, that's not a team you should lose 2 out of 3 to. Include the Baltimore Orioles in that as well. Now, Milwaukee, at the time, and we got swept by them, you had a lot of people running with the narrative that the Yankees can't be good teams. Well, now it's not so much that. It's just we are in a slide right now, Chad. When you lose 2 out of 3 against the 2026 Baltimore Orioles, the 2026 New York Mets, you clearly have a problem. And that problem right now, coming off of yesterday, to discuss is the bullpen. What can be done to figure out a solution to this, in the short term at least? Now, as for Bednar, you know what, let's hear from Bednar real quick. He did face the media yesterday. This is him after the save last night, and then we'll get into it.
Just not putting guys away early, you know. Getting the 2 strikes on the first guy and not being able to put him away. And then, you know, first pitch ground ball and then being able to get my out and then get a strike, be able to get a strikeout. And especially with 2 outs, it's you know, overall it's unacceptable. But especially in that spot, it's just very frustrating.
All right, so I do like the word unacceptable, but what difference does that really make? I like Bednar. I like him as a dude. In the end, though, he hasn't been great so far this season. Now, for a minute, I was saying, I think kind of a lot of the pushback on Bednar, you know, people were grouping him into, like, with Camilo Duvall and the Yankees bullpen as a whole. It's like, oh, Bednar's been terrible. He had not been terrible. He was giving you a scare. He would always get runners on. And yesterday, that same deal happened where, you know, he had the first two guys get on. It's like, all right, not going to stress too much just yet because it's often what Bednar does. And sure enough, the next 2 outs, He gets Soto to ground into a force out and then strikes out Mark Vientos. I'm like, all right, here we go. I get my post game all prepped. I'm like, let's get this final out. And then obviously we know what happened. But Bednar before yesterday wasn't so much something to discuss at the level we are doing right now. And it's because I trust Bednar. And I trust Bednar for the most part. Hear me out here. But no matter what, he's going to be part of this solution. He'll be pitching innings in October. I want him to be pitching innings in October. Now, a game like yesterday and just, you know, the vibes that we have coming into today does beg the question. So the Yankees try to consider something different at closer. Now, obviously, right now, in the meantime, there's not too many alternative options. You could go Fernando Cruz, which I think temperament-wise, he certainly has it. Nobody wants Camilo Duvall in the ninth inning right now, although they're not going to do this. I don't want them to do this. Him going back to his typical role in the ninth inning, could that help him out? Maybe. That's not going to happen. So there's no immediate alternative options besides possibly Fernando Cruz, which I could hear you out on. But bottom line is, in the short term, David Bednar is going to remain the closer. Long term, though, what's the plan? Because even when I was backing up Bednar, and I still will, you know, for the most part, what other choice do I really have? No matter what the situation is, the Yankees got to upgrade this bullpen. And that could also come, even when Bednar's pitching well, via acquiring a closer if there's one available. And no matter how good you feel about Bednar, you want to have arms in the bullpen that can get outs at any point during the game, particularly in October, come, you know, the fifth inning in a jam, say a starter doesn't do too great, and, you know, heart of the order's up, fifth inning, possibly, for all you know, the biggest moment of the game, you want to have a really good reliever to bail you out of that spot. And, you know, if the Yankees go to go out and get a closer, no matter how good I'm feeling about Bednar, it would just push him back one. Everybody gets moved back. So whoever it may be, you know, we were always throwing out the name like Yohan Duran from the Phillies. They're really picking it back up, so we can probably forget about that for now. But I don't have specifics name-wise yet, but let's just say there's a closer out there that we could acquire. No matter how Bednar's doing, I'm down to go get him because you put him in the ninth, and more so just about stacking as many elite arms as possible or stacking as many good arms as possible to be able to go to out of the bullpen. And I'll tell you, the Yankees definitely need some velocity. They need some strikeouts. And, you know, the one positive with Bednar is his velocity is starting to trend back up. But no matter how good your velo is in the fastball or any your pitches, how good they look, a hanging breaking ball like the one he threw to Tyrone Taylor is unacceptable, and he knows that. But with that said, again, in the meantime, it's not going to be anything done to the closer role because who's replacing him? Long-term, trades, we know the bullpen will be upgraded in some capacity. Does not mean that Bednar will be removed from the closer role come, you know, October or come whenever a trade is made. It's tough looking around the league right now, man, because, like, you know, I'm trying to see some scouting reports, but just, like, trade deadline reports or, you know, we're still a ways away. But the American League is so thin right now, and who can really look at it as a team that's completely out of it, even a team that's struggling so far with the way the competition is across the league? Like, for right now, everybody has a chance. You have one good week, you might be one of the best teams in the AL. So it's hard to really look at the deadline and, you know, teams who might be available. Somebody will be available. The Yankees will make moves. We'll get there when we get there. But what I actually want to talk about is the possibility of bringing up Carlos Legrandje, like, right now. Now, there's also Yovani Cruz. He's been struggling a little bit lately at AAA, but, you know, he has, I think, 23 strikeouts and 18 and a third innings pitched down there. He'd be a better option. You guys know how I feel about having two long men in the bullpen. Many Yankee fans are talking about this, as they should. Nothing against Ryan Yarbrough, but, you know, he would be a casualty of this. You don't need to have two long men in the bullpen. The Yankees are pretty much running a man short because of that. So, well, nothing against Yarbrough, and it's not like he hasn't done his job per se. You just don't need two long men out in the bullpen. So I would say cut Yarbrough. You'd lose him, but, you know, you'd have to DFA him and then bring up somebody like a Yovani Cruz or Carlos Legrandje. Now, I know a lot of people will push back on with Legrandje. They'll look at his ERA in AAA, which is a what is ERA in AAA? It's a 4.33 ERA in AAA. That's obviously as a starter, though, so you kind of have to toss it out the window with what we're talking about here. We're talking strictly as a reliever. And yesterday, by the way, Legrandje pitched at AAA, and he hit a new season high in velocity, 103 miles an hour. Now, again, as a starter, he struggled a little bit. He's had, I think, one or two blow-up outings. He has had some walk issues, but we saw this dude in spring training. And the role that we saw him in spring training was largely out of one that would be similar to what we want him here for now, which is couple innings out of the bullpen and give us some strikeouts, be able to work us out of a jam. And, you know, a lot of the Yankees' top relievers right now, period, are allowing base runners on, but they're lacking the stuff to be able to get out of it. So, you know, whether it be Fernando Cruz, who I like a lot, he has a walk problem. David Bednar, his whip is nearing 1.5. So if the issue with Legrandje is walks more so, well, I think Yankee relievers are already walking guys too much, already allowing too many base runners on. And in the case of Legrandje, he's better suited to be able to get out of those jams probably than anybody we're talking about right now. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but bottom line is 52 strikeouts in 38 and a third innings pitched at AAA this season. Toss the ERA out the window because, one, it's not an ERA that we've seen. We don't know what transpired to lead to that ERA, but also that's him as a starting pitcher. We're talking about Carlos Legrandje, two and fly, come in, get us out of a jam, pump gas, and that's really what we're looking for right now. Whether that be Legrandje or Yovani Cruz, whoever it may be, we need an extra arm up here. And I wonder when it could be that he gets brought up. I would like for it to be today. I would imagine it's not going to be, but we really got to start putting this on the map. And I would like to think the Yankees are thinking the same thing. At some point, he's got to be up here. Now, if I had to guess, just because, you know, the odds of it happening today when I'm talking about are very low, or even the month of May, let's say, but at some point very soon, I'm thinking hopefully by June he's up or July he's up. And a little side question, to be honest, because, you know, things work out weird. And, you know, I think about the Dodgers with Roky Sasaki last year. Different circumstances, I know. But speaking of circumstances, right now the Yankees, I mean, if Bednar were to not figure it out, let's say, and there's not like a big-time option specifically on in the closer area to acquire at the deadline, over under 5% chance. I'm more so posing this question to you guys. It's a little fun throwing question, but at some point, over under 5% chance Carlos Legrandje is closing out games for the Yankees this year. I will go over. And we don't need him for that role specifically right now. But this can happen very quickly. And this is in general with relievers. Like Bednar this year has been struggling. Last year he was really good for us. Had an ERA. He had a 2.19 last year. But prior to that, in 2024 had a 577. And that's not a David Bednar thing. That's very much outside of like Mariano Rivera and, you know, some guys here and there. Prime Dellin Betances is another example of guys we watched. Like, more often than not, relievers will have good year, bad year, good year, bad year, good, good, bad, bad. You know, it's like very, it flips quickly with them. So in the case of Bednar, it's not like a huge shock to see him struggling. Also, it wouldn't be a huge shock whatsoever, and I expected that he would get back on track. With that in mind, for all we know, Carlos Legrande comes up here and doesn't mean it'd be a guaranteed success for the future for his career, but I don't know, 2007 Jabba Chamberlain, that's what I see Carlos Legrande being this year, 2014 Dellin Betances, and we could really use that right now. So whether it's him, whether it's Yovani Cruz, the Yankee bullpen needs some work right now, and a big part of that is just Bednar figuring it out, obviously. Camilo Duvall, he was, at least in his most recent game, was decent. But you don't need too long, man. So I would like to think, to be honest, I wouldn't be so shocked if that move happens today, if Ryan Yarbrough is DFA'd by the time the lineup comes out and the Yankees get another arm out of the bullpen. But that's one issue. We've talked about that issue. But in the case of David Bednar, he just got to be better. Guy's got to be better. Yesterday sucked. And I was tweaking on Instagram, obviously, on my story. Most of you guys know how I roll, which I really do appreciate. But yeah, that loss had me bugging, you know. And very much how I operate is gonna, and I posted this too, is like under the assumption that you guys know I'm not one of those fans that just panics or starts, you know, saying season over, all that crap. No, it's not time to panic. We already knew the bullpen was an issue. And the bullpen's gonna get short up. But for right now, it is costing us games. And yesterday was one that, and obviously, you know, the fact that it's against the Mets is part of it. I got Jolly texting me afterwards. You know, my best friend Sloak's a Mets fan. You guys know the deal. So like, it's, you know, a little added extra cherry on top. But in the end, what actually is infuriating is losing a game again, because of the bullpen. And there's been other issues as well. I mean, offensively, we're going to talk about Austin Wells. That was one of the worst at-bats I've personally ever seen in the 10th inning. Which maybe we should just touch on that right now. But yeah, only because this is, I think, I can do quick. The Yankees are going to keep playing Austin Wells long-term, as in this year, long-term. In the short term, could he possibly get sat down? Boone said, we'll see. JC Ascar, I know a lot of you guys do like Ascar, and I'm a fan of him too. He follows Yanks Ave, and like, compared to Austin Wells, word up. That's the alternative right now. Let's go with him. So I would like to think we see a scar behind the dish tonight, maybe for a couple games. But that doesn't really, you know, tickle my fancy, chat. You guys know who I want. I want Ryan Jeffers of the Minnesota Twins. And my mind is completely set on it, to be honest, with, you know, how bad Wells is struggling, but also just the natural need by default for a right-handed bat off the bench. Catching-wise, Jeffers rakes against lefties. He's actually raking against everybody. And while I was saying the other day, like, you figure no matter what, because of the defense, and the Yankees really do like Wells, and for some reasons I get that, but offensively right now, Wells is hitting 173. Just three homers and five ribs, by the way. I mean, it's one thing if, now listen, Trent Grisham's got to actually start picking it up. Like, we always say this, I'm a Trent Grisham fan. I don't care what the metrics say, you can't be hitting sub 200 come season's end. At least with Trent Grisham, though, you got, what is it, six homers, near 30 RBIs. Austin Wells, even comparing it to last year, his batting average was low, and offensively he was ultimately a disappointment, but he still hit 20-plus homers. So far this year in 36 games, you got the 173 batting average with three homers. Just three homers and five RBIs, which, you know, I know I'm sitting here in my desk in my bedroom, but it's hard not to call that unacceptable. It is. And the reason I feel pretty comfortable saying that is because there will be an alternative option in Ryan Jeffers, and I think the Yankees actually will do their best to try to acquire him this deadline. And with that said, I was kind of always saying, like, Wells will still get a lot of playing time. And at first, it might be a thing where Wells continues to play against righties. Jeffers will start every day against lefties. Well, that can change very quick. Remember, when we acquired Caballero, it wasn't to be the everyday starting shortstop. He became the everyday starting shortstop. When we acquired whatever it may be, like having Rosario and then he for a minute becomes what was for a couple weeks the everyday third baseman. Maybe we should get back to doing that, by the way. I'm very upset about Ryan McMahon coming back down to where he's at. We'll get to that maybe a little bit later, some other extra news and notes. But Austin Wells, there's not much more to say about it. And that was a terrible at-bat yesterday. He's been terrible so far this season. I'm obviously rooting for him. I like Wells, but as far as Wells the player, he's really getting frustrating to watch. And yesterday that came completely to a head with that at-bat in the 10th inning. First pitch swinging, you have, what was it, first and third. You know, game's tied at that point. You got to at least get a run in because you know the Mets are going to score in the bottom half, which they did, and they ended up winning the game. Wells swings that first pitch out of the zone. Probably should have, you know, at least taken a pitch. You know, it's easier even to say that when the ball was kind of almost at his letters, but let Volpe steal, eliminate the double play. Doesn't do that. First pitch swinging out of the zone and grounds into a double play. That was, for many reasons yesterday, the blown save being the main one, but like that at bat too, after the blown save, just had me blowing a gasket. I know you guys too. So, Wells, we're obviously all on the same page here. Something's got to be done. And in the short term, all that can really be done is giving him a couple days. But long term, as far as this year, Ryan Jeffers, I'm set on him. I'd like to think the Yankees are too. That obviously we're a couple months away, but really bad. Really bad. And that's kind of the notion from yesterday overall. Anyways, Yankees go 2-7 on the road trip versus Milwaukee, Baltimore, and the Mets. They will enter the week today, three games back of Tampa Bay, who took 2 out of 3 against Miami this weekend. So three back from... I gotta remember to turn the music off when I leave the intro. Anyways, three back of Tampa Bay entering today. And today, of course, as we mentioned, you guys are well aware, first rematch since the 2025 ALDS. Toronto comes to town for a four-game set in the Bronx. And let me tell you, Chet, I'm geared up for this one. I'm also a little bit nervous because, you know, the Blue Jays have had a lot of injuries. They've been struggling so far this year. I, by no means, will really ever count them out until, like, they're mathematically eliminated. I think they will still make the postseason. I think they're still going to be a threat in the American League East. And they haven't really gotten going in large part because of injuries. And I could totally see them getting going this series. Same for, you know, Vlad's been struggling lately. You figure he's going to go deep a couple times. With that said, though, I am pretty excited for the Yankees to wake up starting today because they have to. Now, Toronto enters 6.5 back of us. They're 21-25. They're 6.5 back of us for second place, 9.5 back of the Rays for first. And, yeah, they've been dealt some tough blows injury-wise. I'd have to see where they're at health-wise now, but I know they're still without Kirk. I know Springer's back. Again, Vlad's been struggling. Treya Savage was out for a minute. He's back now. By the way, some pretty awesome pitch. Well, really one awesome pitching matchup in particular. Let's just go through it really quick. So four-game series starts tonight. Game one, Ryan Weathers, who has a 1.88 ERA in his last four starts. He's been great. Versus Patrick Corbin. And I'll tell you right now, Chad, the Yankees better win tonight. They're going up against Corbin, who has actually been decent for the Blue Jays this year. He has a 3.93 ERA. And he just pitched back-to-back, like, decent games against Tampa. You got to take the Patrick Corbin tonight and win this game one. And then come tomorrow, you got Dylan Cease, who's been really good for Toronto. The first year of his whatever big deal he signed was like an 8-year deal or something huge. He's been really good. Dylan Cease, 3-1, 2.41 ERA for Toronto in year one. So far, Will Warren going for us in game two, 5-1, 3.42 ERA. And he bounced back nicely last time out against, I believe it was against Baltimore. And then game three, though. Game three is going to be a badass pitching matchup. Badass. You can probably guess where I'm going with here if you didn't see it already. It's Cam Schlitter versus Treya Savage, which should be freaking incredible. Treya, I don't know why I'm talking like he's my homie. He's not whatsoever. You Savage. He was out for a little bit, but he's come back, and over a few starts now has been pretty damn good for Toronto. 1.40 ERA. Obviously, with Cam, we know how good he's been. That should be box office. That's game three. Schlitter versus You Savage. And then game four, TBD for Toronto as of right now. And then Carlos Rodon will go for the Yanks. Rodon's got to be better. Do got to be patient with him still. Although, you know, that leash won't be forever. Really, I got to emphasize with Cole, though. Give Cole time when he comes back. And he, I think, is one more rehab start for Cole, and then we'll see him return. But with Rodon, you know, on the topic of him and his most recent outing, where he did struggle, stuff still looked pretty good. And I can, you know, get over him being a little bit rusty on the IL because that comes with the territory. Like, it pisses me off, too. But, like, you got to give him some time. And again, especially Garrett Cole when he returns. Like, please, 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 please be patient with Cole. But what was, not to keep throwing out the word unacceptable, you know, I'm not the manager, so I don't want to be, you know, talking like I'm God or nothing, but he would say the same thing, and I think he did. That play going home was, why is Jimmy Norp texting me at 9:22 in the morning? That play coming home the other day was one where, like, you know, I don't ever criticize performance because, like, what can I say about it? I don't really ever criticize, you know, physical errors, blah, blah, blah. But that was more so just a very silly play. Throwing home, didn't have a grip on the ball, and allowed an extra run to score. And in part, that was, you know, why we lost that game two. Game two against the Mets was really frustrating, man. I mean, that was, if not for yesterday, that was also one of the worst losses of the season because you had bases loaded, nobody out. I don't want to harp on the whole thing, but that was just a very ugly series. That play by Rodon was part of it. The struggles by Wells, big part of it. And then, obviously, yeah, Bednar blowing it in the ninth. With all that said, it is a new day today, and the Yankees know that. They better know that, and they better get back on track because this is a big series, four-game set, even just for, you know, you forget the fact of win-losses, which obviously we can't forget that. We got to start winning games again. Just the vibes, the idea. If Toronto were to come in here and just take it to us again, I mean, that would just be nausea-inducing, chat. Let me tell you, and I know you all are well aware of that. So Big series tonight. I'm stoked, but I'm also, even just hearing myself talk right now, I can tell I'm a little nervous about it. We'll, of course, be live for every single one of these games. But, yeah, game one tonight, we'll start there. Ryan Weathers versus Patrick Corbin. Yankees Blue Jays in the Bronx. Now, with that said, chat, by the way, if you haven't already, please do leave a like on the stream. It helps out a great deal. I appreciate you guys so much, by the way. You all were, I mean, there were some people that were, you know, calling me crazy in my story yesterday. They're probably, you know, new around here. Most of you guys know how I operate, and you guys were like, you guys had me cracking up yesterday, and you're like being really cool when I was bugging out on Instagram. I was having a full-on like mental breakdown, which will happen. And I guarantee you, if another loss like that happens tonight, the exact same thing will occur. But always got to keep in mind, like, just when you're consuming anything that I put out there or my Instagram stories, anything I say on here, like, there's watch party Dan, and then there's morning Yankee show Dan. There's in-game Dan, and there's out-of-game Dan. In-game Dan will kind of be Frank the Tank, like, not negative in terms of, like, pessimistic about what's to come. But once something bad happens, I will start bugging and I will start tweaking. Give me about typically 5 to 10 minutes after the game ends, and I'll calm down. Yesterday, I needed about an hour, but I always do bring it back home to be rational and say, like, I'll do right now. Yesterday was not the end of the world. It wasn't the end of the season. It's not time to panic. What's there to panic about? We know we have an issue in the bullpen. That remains the case. That has to be fixed. So in game, I'll be tweaking. It may seem, not by what I'm saying literally, but by the way I'm reacting, like, oh, Dan's giving up, like, end of the world. No, I'm saying the F-bomb really, really loud. And that's what I do in game. It's just, I bug out and I drop an F-bomb and I'll say F you, F you, F you. And that's what I was saying yesterday. The reason I mentioned that is because we always bring it back home, talk rationally, and that's what we do here on the Morning Yankee Show and just in general when we're not in game. So everything that you see me say or bug it on Instagram with, like, always take with the assumption, like, Dan's not giving up. He's just really pissed off right now. And that's what yesterday was. But anyways, with that said, let's talk some positives from the weekend. Really just one. And we're going to forget about the Mets series. But in regards to this right here, I do want to discuss the really good series by Anthony Volpe. He, now, up until yesterday, he didn't have a hit. But he was walking like crazy, which was awesome. But, yeah, come the series finale against the Mets, he had that double, 104 miles an hour off the bat against Freddie Peralta. That was his first hit of the season. And then later in the game comes through with a big go-ahead two-run single in the sixth inning, which at the time had me hyped. And, you know, I was being hyperbolic and joking around when I said best shortstop in the league, by the way, on my Instagram story. But I do root for Volpe. Obviously, this, no matter if you're rooting for him or not, which we all should be, we're Yankee fans, but this made us all very excited just with the, you know, at the time, the result of the game. And then he had that RBI walk later on. So what's the stats on him so far? 4 games, I know. But, you know, we're a daily show, so we're going to talk about it. 896 OPS, that's a 563 OBP. Which is heavily contributing to that. Question more so here is not to, you know, overreact too much to 4 games, really not at all, but it is worth talking about because you have Caballero returning, or he's eligible to return Friday against Tampa Bay, which we know what he said. He's been counting down the days. He will be activated at the end of that 10-day stint, which come Friday against Tampa Bay, he'll be eligible to do so. He will be the starting shortstop. That's not what this conversation is about, trust me. But more so, what could the future, as a headline shows on here, what could the future still hold for Volpe? Well, in the short term, come Caballero's return on Friday, Caballero will take over the shortstop job again, as he should. But I want Volpe to start practicing some other positions, yo. Learn some second base, learn some third base. Like, he'll be on the roster, no doubt about it. That's our short-term answer here regarding this question. I want to talk long-term as well, but come Friday, he'll remain on the roster. You figure it'd probably be a DFA, I guess, or an optioning. I'd have to see where he's at with all that, but Max Schumann. And then you'd keep Volpe on the roster come Friday. And then, you know, maybe ease Caballero back in. He'll still get a start a shortstop here or there. But he should learn some second base. He should learn some third base. You know, McMahon's coming back down. I don't want to say coming back down to earth. That makes it seem like he was, you know, putting up crazy numbers. I mean, I guess he was. He was for a couple weeks. And that got me really excited. The at-bats still are looking not as bad as they initially were. But McMahon's stats are coming back down, which is very unfortunate. But yeah, Volpe should learn to play some third base. Or should learn to play some second base. And I don't want to go the route of, you know, say Volpe's hitting. All right, word. Like, try to find him into the lineup, especially if those guys, you know, like McMahon's not hitting anymore. I don't want it to be Caballero off a shortstop. Because while Volpe actually looked pretty damn decent at shortstop this weekend against the Mets, I like Caballero as a shortstop. I like he's very much just like a rock there, and like, things were working well when he was there. No matter what, Caballero would be playing every day. I get a little nervous about the idea of the Yankees doing a thing where, all right, well, we don't have to have Volpe learn new positions. We can just have him play shortstop, and then Caballero can be the rover. Like, no, unless maybe we see a large sample size of Volpe looking as good as he did, which in fairness was just the Mets for some reason walking him like crazy. But, you know, he had some good hits yesterday. If that were to continue over a long period of time, all right, that's a different conversation. For right now, it's like, nah, Volpe, learn some second, learn some third. Javier Confrada, you're a shortstop. But nonetheless, I'm excited about it. You know, looked good, especially yesterday, Sunday. Long term, though, just talking after this year, this helps, you know, the idea of possibly if you were to let Jazz walk in free agency, which I fully anticipate will be the case, Volpe being the second baseman next year, possibly. Which, again, learn the position, brother. Like, get your glove out now. It's the same glove. You can use your whatever you're using, 11.5-inch infielder's mitt. Go play some second base and learn how to do that. I'm sure he's played it before. So, you know, he should want to, too. It only incentivizes him and, you know, his ability to get into the lineup. And the way I'm talking right now, watching him yesterday, like, I want that to be a possibility. Because, yo, for all we know, if Volpe's going to hit, and listen, there's guys that are late bloomers, many. Dansby Swanson's example. I'm not saying he's going to turn out to be Dansby Swanson, but take a look at his offensive numbers the first few years. I don't know if they're carbon copy. I'm sure Dansby is a little better than Volpe's been, but you know, he's still only 24, a lot of potential. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility that Volpe could still, quote-unquote, ascend to being a league-average hitter. Well, if we have a league-average hitter, which I'm not saying we do right now, but if we were to, we ain't got one at third base right now. So, Volpe, maybe learn third base. That might be the way to go. Anyway, speaking of third base, we'll see Rosario play at third tonight against Corbin. Want to see McMahon get back on track, but, you know, who really knows at this point? It's kind of like the opposite of when, you know, a guy gets off to a great start, then cools down, then gets back on track. Kind of like we're seeing with Ben Rice. It's like, oh, that just, it feels like he's so much more, it's so much more legit when a guy is hot and then comes back down, but then picks it back up. On the flip with McMahon, it's like started off cool, gets hot, and now he's cold again. It's like, all right, maybe this is who he really is. By the way, Ben Rice, 15th home run of the year yesterday. That was cool. But yeah, we'll leave it at this. Volpe, he didn't hurt his case to get more playing time in the future with these four games. And also defensively, I think he looked pretty good at shortstop against the Mets. So Volpe, for right now, at the very least, shout out to you. And we should all say that. There might be many times for us to roast him. And I'll leave that to you guys. More often than not, that's what I can do because you guys take care of that for me. But yeah, let's all give some credit where it's due. Volpe was good, particularly yesterday and in this series against the Mets. We'll see what that leads to. Some other notes from the weekend. Shout out Elmer. Elmer had his best outing yet. 4 1/3 innings, 5 hits, 1 earned, 1 walk, and a strikeout. He was good yesterday. Gave the Yanks a chance to win. He'll make one more start in the rotation, which we knew would happen, and Boone confirmed that yesterday. And then we'll have Gerrit Cole back, which we've said enough by now to make sure you're, you know, patient with him and all that. But in the meantime, you know, I liked what I saw from Elmer yesterday. Command was much better, just one walk. And, you know, once you saw him get through the first inning scoreless, it's like, all right, maybe we have a shot today. Not that I didn't think we had a shot. And obviously we did have a shot and we blew it. But, yeah, Elmer was good yesterday. So shout out to him. I have McMahon in here. We already talked about him. Jazz had a great series. And I want to talk about this. I forget if we were live. What was it? Friday morning we were talking about the Buster Olney report where he said the idea of, at least he was curious that the Yankees could possibly make a change at second base internally or externally if Jazz continues to struggle. And we reacted to that, and I'm not going to, you know, try to, like, walk back on my words. I was very much, and I still am, by the way, very much open to that possibility. With that said, though, it's not a thing where, let's just say I said the Yankees, which I didn't say this, but the Yankees should trade Jazz. If I were to say that, I'm not going to not celebrate a great series or a great game because I had a narrative that could, like, or I put something out there, said something that could age poorly based off his performance. And in this case, his performance is doing well. That's not what it's about. I'm not married to my takes or anything like that. It's never about my takes. I just like talking Yankees baseball. That's why we do this. It's freaking a blast. But it's not a thing where I ever need to be correct. In fact, I have no interest in being correct, although I think more often than not I am. But it's about the Yankees winning. So if I were to not celebrate Jazz having a great game Friday in a great series, that would be like hypocritical to everything I'm about. I'm about the Yankees winning. And Jazz helped the Yankees win on Friday night at least. And in the end, they had a pretty damn good series, which is awesome. I'm rooting for Jazz to do well. Same with Austin Wells. You know, if Austin Wells, we just talked about again, that I'm set on getting Ryan Jefferson. If he has a great game tonight, which he's not going to play, but whenever it is, like if Wells helps the Yankees win, I will celebrate that. So in the case of Jazz, it's not a thing where, oh, like, oh, you talk shit about Jazz. I didn't talk shit about Jazz. I just, like I always say, he's got to start hitting. And that goes with anybody. Like, I like David Bednar. He's got to pitch better. Judge, by the way, not talking shit about him. He's got to start him for some more power. Judge hasn't gone deep since the series finale against Milwaukee. So, you know, that's how it's always going to go. It's not a thing where I say a certain thing and then I got to shy away from celebrating when, you know, something that goes against my talking point or narrative happens, especially when it led the Yankees to winning a game. That's all I care about. It's not about me being right. It's never about me being right, yo. Ever, 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 ever. It's about the Yankees winning. But yeah, the Yankees could, you know, use some help from Judge and get some power out of him. Because again, he hasn't gone deep since the series finale against Milwaukee. And his OPS has now fallen below one dot, which, like, whatever. His OPS is going to be above one dot. Probably, honestly, towards season's end, I would still guess it's going to be at a 1.1. But we could use some power from a lot of guys, really, too. I mean, even, you know, Bellinger, his home road splits are pretty stark. And, you know, we're back home in the Bronx tonight. So I'm sure, you know, power will be elevated a little bit. But, like, not calling out Bellinger by any means. Bellinger's been great. But, like, we could use some more power from him, particularly, like, on the road. Obviously, you know, Jazz, I'll lay off him a little bit right now because he played great. But, like, everybody, like, some homers would be nice, too. We always talk about it. Like, early in the season when, you know, the Yanks were not even scuffling, but, like, there were some offensive struggles. And a big part of that was not so much, like, yo, we had speed. We were getting some hits with runners in scoring position. But in the end, like, we weren't scoring that many runs because we weren't hitting home runs. And it's not a thing where you can only have home runs and nothing else matters. You need it all. You need good defense. You need speed. You need good fundamentals. You need good relief pitching. You also, especially when you're the New York Yankees, the Bronx Bombers, the tail as old as time, you need to hit home runs. So with that in mind, some power starting tonight would be pretty much appreciated. And they're going up against Patrick Corbin, so ideally they'll be able to do that. Corbin's been good so far this year. You guys want my honest opinion? Like, the Yankees should have their way with Patrick Corbin tonight is kind of where I'm at. But anyways, that is going to wrap up this episode. I think it might have been a little bit of a shorter one, just barely over 30 minutes. Apologies for that, but got to start producing baseball today. Chris Rose sent a very lengthy email, so get ready for a Baseball Today episode with a lot of VOs. VOs means video only, by the way. And then SOT is sound on tape, so can I play the Bednar soundbite? That's a SOT. VO?
Just not putting guys away.
And then that's an SOT. Anyways, for anybody who cared about that, that's going to do it for this episode. Chat, appreciate you guys so much for tune in to another episode. We'll be all right. Season is by no means over, obviously. Feel silly even saying that. But got to get back on track tonight. 4-game set against the Blue Jays starts up in the Bronx. Game 1, Ryan Weathers versus Patrick Corbin. We'll be live right around at 7 for a 7:05 first pitch. This game is on Yes. Today's game's on Yes. Tuesday's on Yes. Wednesday's on Prime. And then Thursday's on Yes. All four games, 7:05 first pitch. But yeah, everybody have a great rest of your day. It's going to be a hot one today. Going to be hot out the next few days. I'm already kind of sweating right now, and I got the AC unit going. But yeah, that's all I got, chat. I will see you all next time, which is later tonight. But for the Morning Yankee Show, we'll be back tomorrow morning, either 8 or 9. I'll let you guys know. But yeah, that's all I got. I'll see you guys next time. Let's go, Yanks.